VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you'll agree with me when I say we are in a war. I mean, we are regularly addressing the many issues that are confronting us on a daily basis. We have often addressed the war on the family, the war on morality, the war on God, the war on education, the war on conservatives, the war on life. Last week, we addressed the war on the Second Amendment. Today, the war on the farmer. But keep in mind that the war on the farmer is a war on the population of the entire world. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see what's happening with food prices and the food supply all across the nation and around the world. On top of the more than 10% food price increase year over year, there are significant additional price hikes on things like meats and poultry, fish, eggs. Keep in mind, if you control the food, you also control the population. The war on the farmer, our topic today. It's our privilege to have back with us William F. Jasper, the senior editor at the New American magazine. He's the author, journalist, commentator, as well as a top investigative reporter and documentary producer. For more than three decades, he has served as an accredited correspondent at the United Nations in New York and UN summits around the world. Bill, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
A pleasure, as always, Jim. You've always done a good job. You've been alerting the American people across the board to all of the different dangers facing us. So it's an honor to be back.
Well, we appreciate it, and we'll be getting out information where some of these latest things we're talking about are coming up in the new edition of the New American magazine. But some are under belief that this global crisis on our world's food supply right now, I mean, we're told this is Russia's war on Ukraine, and this is a net effect on it. Others will say, no, this is due to COVID, to the pandemic, to the interruption of the global supply chain. And once everyone gets working again, all will be well. And I keep hearing these estimates when the global supply chain is going to have some relief to it, and it keeps getting kicked down the road here. Others, Bill, as you know, say this is all due to global climate change, and we've got to enact policies now where we're going to cause a worldwide famine. We're going to see lots of people dead. There's a lot of finger-pointing going on to these recent events, but this war on the farmer and the war on the control of the food supply actually predates all of these things. So as you look at this topic here, what do you see as being the genesis of this war, and who's fostering it?
Well, those are really important questions, and that's what we've tried to address, and we've done quite a few articles just in the last year on that. Two of our issues have had cover story packages. The current one, which is out now, which is the cover story is No Farmers, No Food, and Biden's War on Farmers, and then the Global War on Farmers. Those are three stories all together, making a package there. And then a couple of months ago, we did Feast or Famine, another series of stories looking into this. So what we found is, as you point out, the media and politicians are trying to tell us that this is the current food price spikes and the food unavailability and the dire picture looking ahead to food availability. And as Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum say, we're going to have to shift over to eating bugs and weeds. This is all being blamed on Russia, COVID, global warming. No, what we've looked at is, okay, these are what we are currently experiencing and what we may experience in the very near future in terms of something we've never seen before in this country anyway, which is famine and unavailability of food is being actually planned. It's the result of policies that have been made by politicians supported by various institutions led by organizations like the World Economic Forum, the Council on Foreign Relations, and their various think tank allies. They are planning and have already implemented many policies which are going to wipe out many of our farmers, not just here in the United States, but around the world. And so we can dive into all of that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you've written this. The green global elites are aiming for total food control. Their power grab, which is now most evident in Holland, threatens the entire planet, including the United States. So, Bill, tell us, what is happening in Holland, And how does this impact, you know, the United States?
Well, many people have probably seen, although it's kind of disappeared over the last few weeks, for several months, escalating protests in Holland by farmers, but polls showing that over half of the Dutch people supported the farmers. Many of them were blocking the highways, blocking the streets with their tractors, thousands of tractors. I mean, it's very, very impressive there, and many of them dumping manure and other stuff on the streets around the capital, around food processing plants or whatnot, to emphasize what? They were saying, look, the government has admitted, the government of Holland, led by Mark Rutte, the prime minister, who is one of the darlings of the World Economic Forum, that's the Davos Billionaires Club, led by Klaus Schwab and all these big globalists, big pharma, big banking, etc. And Mark Rutte was implementing in Europe one of the most stringent United Nations-supported, World Economic Forum-supported clampdowns on farmers, supposedly because of nitrous oxide in the fertilizers and from belching and flatulating cows, were supposedly going to cause a environmental crisis. So the government of Holland put strict new fertilizer and emissions controls on dairy farmers, on beef farmers, admitting that it would probably wipe out 11,500 farms completely, and that 17,000 farms in addition would probably be severely curtailed. Now, that's huge, and this is in a very small country which has, as a result of innovation and ingenuity, become one of the leading exporters of food, not only to Europe, but all over the world. And so these farmers comprise a huge part of the Dutch economy and, of course, of the food that everybody gets in the stores. That food doesn't come magically from processing plants that make it out of thin air. Somebody has to grow it. Somebody has to nurture it. Somebody has to harvest it. And so this is really a war on farmers. So they're saying, look, we're not going to survive. And if we don't survive, millions of people are going to starve.
So is Holland a test case in all of this? I mean, this is
It is the test case of the advanced countries. Now, we saw in a number of countries, most spectacularly this past few months, in Sri Lanka, formerly known as Ceylon, that's the little island off the southern tip of India, always been pretty socialist, but the current, or rather just ousted president, Rajapaksa, had gone before the World Economic Forum and before the United Nations and boasted that he was going to be the first country to eliminate all fertilizer and implement the Green New Deal. You thought that was just Biden's and AOC's thing. No, the World Economic Forum and the United Nations have been promoting it under that name for years before Biden came on board. So they did that in Sri Lanka with disastrous results. Within just a few months, all of their crop production plummeted. People were starving. People couldn't get food. People rioted, and they overthrew President Rajapaksa. He had to flee the country. And now they're trying to pick up the pieces there. And so Rajapaksa, before he fled, goes before the World Economic Forum in Davos and pleads, oh, please, have your government send us aid. We're starving here. We desperately need your help. That was all the result of these wonderful Green New Deals that are being implemented all over the world.
Well, Holland, though, as you indicate, the test case here, but they are not alone. I mean, there are things happening in so many other nations. We can't go into great detail through all the nations here, but give us a brief bird's eye overview of what's happening around the world on this issue, because sometimes people will, we're rather myopic. We see what happens at our grocery stores or just what's happening. Oh, we have the heat wave go through and we're losing corn. But what we're seeing take place is not unique to the United States, not unique to Holland, but there's actually kind of like a worldwide agenda going on, isn't there?
Absolutely. And in our current issue, No Farmers, No Food, we have an article, The Global War on Farmers, by my co-CEO and your editor, Alex Newman, whom I'm sure many of your listeners know, you've probably had on your program. And he goes through a number of the countries, South Africa, China, Brazil, Sri Lanka, Canada, the Netherlands, the British Isles, the United States, showing how this is being implemented in both advanced countries and in developing countries, and the disastrous results. Now, you'd expect in China, which is a communist country, that they would be heavy-handed and completely oppressive, because we saw back during the 1950s and early 60s, when they had their Great Leap Forward, they starved as many as 30 to 40 million people to death in China with all of this, the first major Green New Deal that was implemented by the Communist Party. And we've seen what they have done under COVID, how completely totalitarian they've been. We wouldn't expect to see the same kind of policies in the Netherlands, in the UK, in Canada, the United States. South Africa now is another case where has gone totally communist, and that's why it's fallen from being one of the wealthiest, highest GDP countries in the world under the communist rule over the last 30 years. And now they're doing the same thing there with regard to these draconian environmental controls. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that if is allowed to move forward, and Biden is promoting it heavily, as we document and report on in our Biden's war on the American farmers. He's doing that here. And if you, I grew up in a rural area. I live on a ranch now. I'm surrounded by other ranches, and I can tell you everybody's really worried about this because all of the different controls that are coming down are really aimed at destroying the ability of farmers and ranchers to produce, force them off the land. And once that happens, you don't just develop that kind of knowledge and that kind of understanding and that kind of work ethic overnight. That's something that's transmitted and handed down family from one generation to the next. And so this is a very, very serious thing that is happening all over the world.
Folks, it is, and we're coming up on a break, and we're going to delve further into this topic here in this next segment as well. But, Bill, you referred to this issue of the New American, No Farmers, No Food, and I you know, we're only going to scratch the surface. You've got a lot of information in this. How can our listeners obtain this?
Well, they can go to thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. Or if they can go on, I just tried just before we went on the air, and it was working. I went on several search engines and just put No Farmers, No Food, No Farmers, comma, No Food, and a number of things come up, but usually the New American is in the first two or three.
Okay, thenewamerican.com. Again, this issue, No Farmers, No Food. And friends, it goes beyond just crops. So we're going to be delving into this matter of the culling of cattle herds as well. And it's getting close to home here by the Biden-enacted policies. It's happening in Canada. More to come in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how old is the moon?
Chris, according to evolution, the Earth and the moon are about the same age, nearly 5 billion years old. But there's a problem. We observe that the moon is slowly moving away from the Earth. If you assume that it's always been moving away, then you can calculate how close it was to Earth at some time in the past. A billion years ago, the moon would be in contact with the Earth. Scientifically, this could not be. The Bible says that on day one of creation week, God created the earth, but it was on day four that he created the moon. They were not ever connected. Chris, it shouldn't surprise us, but the scientific information fits with the biblical information. Science supports scripture and not evolution or long ages. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Friends, we're talking today with William F. Jasper, who has put together some of the articles in this topic here, The War and the Farmer, that are appearing in The New American. And thenewamerican.com is a website. If you don't have access to the web, you can reach out to them by phone and ask how you can obtain copies of The New American. Their number is 1-800-727-TRUE. That's 1-800-727-TRUE, T-R-U-E. We're talking today regarding the war on the farmer. And, Bill, I know this is something that goes beyond just crops. I mean, we're talking the orders of what's happening not only in Holland. You gave us some numbers there before, but actually it's happening in many countries, including the U.S. But this matter of ranchers having to cull their cattle herds, that's all part of this as well.
Well, yes, and not only cattle, but hogs and chickens particularly, and not just chickens, but also all birds. You know, we're told that the latest strain of the avian flu, is a danger to America's bird production. And so now, thus far, the last I looked, it was something like 50 million chickens have been slaughtered just in the United States. And, of course, that is going to reduce the amount of chicken meat available as well as eggs, because these are both layers as well as meat chickens. And this, not as many people will eat duck. I have ducks, chickens, a lot of things, turkeys. But it will affect turkey availability also. So this is a major thing. So when it gets then to the cattle, that has been a disaster for 2 years running now, since actually more than 2 years, since the beginning of the COVID pandemic. So as a result of the supply chain and unavailability of diesel, unavailability of workers because of COVID restrictions, many of the farms had to destroy, cull their herds because they couldn't get the feed, couldn't get the workers, couldn't process, get to the processing plants. So we're now more than two years into this of the vast reduction of America's cattle herds. So that makes us more dependent on foreign sources, but even those foreign sources have been subjected to much of the same treatment. So this has long-term results, both in terms of, well, I didn't mention, though, I was talking just about the cattle, the meat production. That affects dairy farmers as well. And so many of the dairy farmers have had to cull their herds, so that makes all dairy products, milk, cheese, et cetera, all more expensive and less available, particularly to those who are on the lower economic rungs of the ladder.
Wow. Let's just bring Canada into the picture, our neighbor to the north. I mean, they're jumping into this whole matter full feet. I mean, Justin Trudeau is just leading them down the same path.
Well, yes. So we have Justin Trudeau, who's one of the young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. He was groomed and managed and brought forward by the World Economic Forum. I mean, you can go back and look at all of his appearances at the WEF, and you can see Klaus Schwab actually saying Justin Trudeau and half of his cabinet are World Economic Forum young global leaders. Then he boasts that Macron in France and Rutte in Netherlands, and he names several others, are their former young global leaders. So they've been grooming these people and placing them very Machiavellianly, like, in places of power all over the globe. So it was not surprising that Justin Trudeau would follow in the steps of Mark Rutte of the Netherlands and start imposing the same thing there in Canada. And so he is having a replay of the trucker strike now, with the farmers protesting and many other people joining with them in these protests. They see the design. They see the markings of what's coming. And so when you look at this in the larger picture, we see that the control of food, the centralization and control of food, is part and parcel of a bigger picture where the globalists, led by World Economic Forum, Council on Foreign Relations, Chatham House, etc., they want to control everything. So they are pushing central bank digital currency to wipe out cash so they can have a central digital currency. They want to have the using the pandemic to centralize control over all health and medical care. Everywhere one looks, the internet censorship, working hand-in-hand with the United Nations, which the World Economic Forum signed in 2019, an official partnership, a global strategic partnership with the United Nations to implement global governance, which is their way, their more euphemistic way of saying world government.
Hmm. The World Economic Forum is pushing something called the Food Action Alliance. What is this?
Yes, so that's one of the stories that we've been covering. We were the first ones to cover that. This is a very evil and alarming thing that's happening. Their Food Action Alliance is setting up hubs. They've already set them up in dozens of countries around the world. And the headquarters for it is in the Netherlands, in Holland. So Mark Rutte, the prime minister, boasted about this because it's being implemented in his country. The headquarters is going to be there in Holland. And this is the way in which the United Nations and globalists buy off a lot of politicians and their constituents by saying, oh, you're going to have the prestige, but you're also going to have this headquarters in your country. And this is going to make you important, and there'll be lots of wealth to come from it. But the Dutch people are saying, no, we don't want anything, any of this. And, you know, in general, the Dutch population, the Dutch voters, tend to be fairly liberal on most other things. But they can recognize that, boy, this is an attack on our sovereignty, on our individual sovereignty, our national sovereignty, and on our ability to survive.
Our guest here today on Crosstalk is William F. Jasper, senior editor at the New American Magazine. And again, this edition, No Farmers, No Food. For information, you can go to thenewamerican.com. You may call them 1-800-727-TRUE. You report that the World Economic Forum's New Vision for Agriculture initiative is led by 17 global companies that are industry partners in the forum. Who are these 17 companies? People will recognize some of these names.
Well, yeah, these are major outfits. There's Archer Daniels Midland, which is one of the largest feed and grain manufacturers or processors in the world. Cargill, which is another one. Coca-Cola, DuPont, General Mills, Kraft Foods, PepsiCo, Nestle, Unilever, Walmart's. These are huge companies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we see at the World Economic Forum. We see all these globalist billionaires who fly in on their Learjets and dine in palatial estates and have all these champagne and caviar soirees, and then they lecture the rest of the world on how we have to reduce our carbon footprint.
Yeah.
And we've done a number of stories showing that the carbon footprints of just the jets and helicopters and limousines and palaces of some of these billionaire hypocrites is larger than many countries. So this is what they are doing. They're trying to move us into an oligarchy in which the communists of China and other countries around the world and the corporate globalists will rule a condominium of the entire world. So we have the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, BlackRock, Blackstone, Citibank, all of the big banks and big pharma all joining together in this with communist China.
Some of these companies that you mentioned, and you know, and the feed and grain processors, some would say, well, aren't they shooting themselves in the foot?
Well, I mean, yes, that's kind of the cognitive dissonance that this tends to engender, because you go, wait a second. Aren't these companies going to be hurt by this? Well, some of them will, some of their subsidiaries and whatnot, but when you look at the administrative state, the regulatory state, and you look primarily at the most extreme example, which today would be communist China, they have major corporations there. They have some of the largest corporations in the world there. They're all run by the Communist Party, with the titular heads being billionaire Chinese quote-unquote entrepreneurs. But our major corporations and big bankers here seem to have no trouble working with them and using those same regulatory overkill mechanisms of the communist state to wipe out their competition. So most of these major corporations and their CEOs, the globalists who run them, not the shareholders, but the people who are running them and have taken control, they see and have for a long time, every time they get a new environmental regulation, new LGBTQ regulation or something, some new woke agenda item, it's going to wipe out a lot of the mom and pop and small and medium and even some of the big privately owned companies that are not on the woke agenda, the globalist agenda. So they see this as a weaponization of the state against their competition. And ultimately, so it's really a mafia type of thing where different mafia families, even though they're competing against each other, will get together and create an alliance for a while. They usually end up fighting among themselves and killing each other. And so when you look at today all of the globalists and how they've jumped in bed with the communists, because virtually every major corporation in the United States has dealings now in China, they're going to pay for that. They may, in the short term, and they have been making great gains, but as we've seen with some of the top billionaire CEOs in China, Jack Ma being a prime example, the richest Chinese. Finally, the Chinese party disappeared him, took him to the woodshed.
Well, you know, it is amazing information. And we're just a minute before the break, and I'd like to say at least get this topic introduced, because I'd like to really bring matters home here to the Biden administration. You have referred to in your article to Joe Biden as a globalist sock puppet. And I'd like you to address if that's a little bit strong in language for him, and bear out for us what actions he has engaged in to call for this war on the farmer.
Yes, well, I've used that term a number of times before. He really is a sock puppet. And anyone who has observed him over the last 2 years or even going back to the campaign realize, as polls show, the vast majority of people think charitably he's out of his element. He's cognitively damaged. He's senile. He's got dementia or whatever. It's very clear when Joe Biden's mumbling, stumbling, grumbling, bumbling along and barely walk that there are serious problems. Somebody else is running the show.
Tell you what, we're going to pick up with this right after the break. Folks, don't go away, please. We've got a lot of information to unpack yet here as it relates to what's happening within the United States, and specifically what's going on with the Biden administration, what actions they are taking to engage in this war on the farmer. Many of you are experiencing this right now. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Crosstalk, as we know it, began airing in 1987.
Good afternoon to you, Vic Eliason here. We are going to be talking today with...
It comes your way from the VCY America Network out of Milwaukee. Did you ever wonder what the letters VCY stand for? Ever pondered what's behind the ministry that presents Crosstalk every day? We're pleased to share with you a free copy of the magazine-formatted book, God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story. This book of over 200 pages presents nearly 500 photographs, interviews, historic newspaper articles, and writings about the VCY America ministry, now over 60 years old. The magazine will also inform you about VCY rallies, the birthday club ministry, the VCY bookstore, and so much more. It is a testimony to God's faithfulness. To receive a free copy of God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story, call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, we hear from you. We know many who listen to this program are involved in agriculture, whether it be crops, whether it be that of livestock, we think of poultry and so forth. And what's happening here, the war on the farmer is very much at bay at this moment. I mean, it's taking place here across this nation. We're talking with our guest, William F. Jasper, senior editor at the New American Magazine, and their latest issue here, No Farmers, No Food. You can contact them for information on how you can obtain that at 1-800-727-TRUE. You can also learn about them at thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. But this war on the farmer is going to impact every single one of us here on planet Earth, really. And though Holland has been sort of the test tube aspect of this with, you know, this experiment, but we're seeing this really take place in nations all around the world. And it's impacting Canada, our neighbors to the north. This is going to impact future food supplies, impacting us here in the United States. And though you established your position here on Joe Biden as a global sock puppet, I'd like you to address, if you would, Bill, the Biden administration as to what actions that they are engaging in right now to that bear out this war on the farmer.
Well, there are so many, but let me just click off a few of them. Right now, Joe Biden is preparing, or rather, I should say, John Kerry, his climate czar, and the others in his administration are preparing for the big climate summit in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, coming up in November. Hopefully we're going to be sending Alex Newman over there. I'm not going to this one. But right now the big push is on to use the global warming hoax with continued beating the drums and beating the propaganda that we have to use, that we have to cut our CO2, our nitrogen emissions, et cetera. And so Biden has pushed forward all of these plans that are affecting not only agriculture, but all Americans as they push for instance, the disaster which we've seen in Europe, in Germany, in England, in France, and with pushing so-called alternative renewable sources of energy. You're not going to be able to travel. You're not going to be able to do anything with under these new regulations. And the Europeans are finding that out. They're having to backtrack on many of those things because they're sweltering without air conditioning because they have to turn off the electric. But this affects the farmers, too, because if they don't have diesel, if they don't have gasoline, they're not going to be able to harvest the crops. They're not going to be able to plant them. They're not going to be able to fertilize them. If they can't get the fertilizer, which Biden is making it almost impossible because of the nitrogen requirements, they're not going to be able to grow the food. So that's one of the things. The other thing is he's requiring the EPA, his EPA is requiring the increase of ethanol blends in our gasoline and diesel. That is having a huge impact in a number of ways. One of the ways which we go into, which I'll just mention here, is that it is giving an artificial boost to corn for ethanol. So farmers, instead of planting the other food crops, have been planting it in corn, they've been deforesting and taking over pasture and whatnot for corn planting, because when you subsidize something to the government, you're going to get more of it. So it's bad on a number of fronts. But there's the other thing in which they're trying to take over with the so-called threat of farm dust. So the EPA, again, is claiming that farm dust from planting, plowing, et cetera, is causing all these deaths. So we have to have vast new controls on farmers to eliminate this claimed threat from dust. Probably one of the most dangerous things that have farmers and ranchers and rural communities really upset and worried about is the WOTUS program. That's WOTUS, like POTUS, SCOTUS, POTUS for the President of the United States, SCOTUS for Supreme Court of the United States. Well, WOTUS is something that came out during the Obama administration. It was slapped down by the courts, but it's for waters of the United States. So the government, the federal government under Obama and now under Biden, is claiming that all waters virtually, so you have a puddle in your backyard, you have a temporary puddle on your pasture, you have a wetland, you might be 50 or 100 or 150 miles from a river or a stream or anything, but the waters of the United States has corrupted the original navigable rivers claim of the federal government, that is, that navigable rivers going from the ocean up the rivers as far as you could take a boat, were under the control of the U.S. government, under the feds. Even now, that's even a questionable judgment. But under WOTUS, they're claiming that all waters eventually seep through the ground and make their way to a navigable river. So if you have a stock pond for watering your cattle, if you have a irrigation system, doesn't matter how far away you are, if you aren't even connected visibly or in any reasonable way to the waters of the United States, now everything is under the waters of the United States.
Insanely outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, this is just amazing, folks, to see this happening to America and the what's coming forth from the Biden administration. It is not solely through him, folks. It's coming at a much larger venue here around the world, the United Nations, the World Economic Forum. And when we look at this bill, one would ask, can this be stopped? Is there anything that people can do to stop this momentum from going on? What's happening in the world? How do I impact the World Economic Forum? How can I impact what's happening here in the United States?
Well, yes. So in painting the picture of the threat that we face, we try mightily not to get into the position of having people wake up and give up all at the same time. Because, mm-hmm. yes, we're facing formidable forces. However, they are not invincible, their schemes for total control of our lives and of the entire planet do not have to come to pass. What can we do? So this is where, in our magazine, people get it, we go into the things that they can do and that we must do, and we have to do it collectively. You can't just a few of us do it. We have to get millions of Americans to do this. And so what can they do? There's local things, there's state things, and there's national things that they can do. And we can get into that right now or when you're...
Yeah, let's briefly go into it. Let me open some phone lines as well, folks. Our number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. Time is very short, so please go right to your question for our guest here today. Perhaps you're a farmer, maybe a rancher, and experiencing these issues. 800-733-9829. Go ahead and address that if you would, Bill.
Yes. Yeah, so first of all, everyone has to get informed on these things, and then you have to start putting this into action. You can do it on your individual level and should be doing it by first contacting, for instance, these various corporations. We've seen even the most left-wing corporations like CNN over the last few weeks, last couple of months. Finally, CNN said, hey, we've gone so far to the left, we better correct. We've lost all our audience, our stock is going down, our viewership has hit the tank. So even CNN, they fired Brian Stelter and a whole bunch of other folks there, and are planning to supposedly fire a bunch more. Now, I don't expect them to become conservative overnight or constitutionalist, but it shows they are reacting to public pressure. I could cite a whole bunch of corporations from Twitter to Amazon to Facebook, et cetera, who have backed down on a number of things because people said, hey, we're not going to take this anymore. We can even see the Democratic Party, as far left as it is, and it seems to be going more far left all the time, they recognize that they've been losing voters and they have to backtrack and try to appear more conservative. So you have to let your voice be known. Emails, calling your state representative, your U.S. representative, their office. They're getting besieged now, and many of them are getting very worried. And when they're worried, they start paying attention.
Yeah. So. Folks, the elections here this November as well, so very critical to this issue. By our phone lines are packed. We're going right to the calls here today. Again, the website, thenewamerican.com or 800-727-TRUE. We've got George calling from Olney, Illinois. George, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Basically, history is repeating itself. Back in the day of Adam and Eve, they were deceived, and they were farmers at the time, you know, taking care of the garden. Basically, First World War and Second World War were about we went in and took care of some of that stuff to make it right as a group of people, and it's repeating itself. We have to begin to pray or continue to pray because that prayer says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil.
Absolutely. I agree completely. One of the first things that has to be at the forefront and the start of all of our efforts is to repent ourselves individually for our sins and our sins as a nation.
Yeah.
I mean, the scriptures tell us and Jesus tells us that if we... when a nation sins, and we sin numerous ways, abortion just being one of them, pornography, etc., we have to have repentance. And then we pray for God's intervention and help. And that has to be at the start of every day for all of us.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up here, George. And keep in mind the promise from God in His Word, Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and dry, or day and night, shall not cease. Let's go to Wayne in South Dakota. You're on the air, Wayne.
Hi, I'm a lifetime farmer. My family homesteaded here back in 1904, and I've seen the elimination of so many farms. I mean, you know, from when I was a kid to what it is now, there's hardly any of us left, kind of like being out here in the middle of nowhere. My question for Mr. Jasper is this. I read once that through Freedom of Information Act, it wasn't meant to be made public, but the Department of Agriculture, about 1950, their stated goal was to reduce the number of family farms to a much lower level by the year 1980. And, you know, here we are now, and it's been accomplished. But I was just wondering if he has ever read that or if that'd be something that he'd like to study further, because I've read it, and then I've tried to find that. I've never been able to find it, but is he aware of the Department of Agriculture working systematically to destroy the American farmer?
Thank you, Wayne.
Well, let me answer specifically. Yes, I am familiar with the U.S. Department of Agriculture working specifically to eliminate the American farmer. That particular study that you refer to sounds vaguely familiar. I can't recollect it offhand. If you can put your hands on it and send it to me, send me a link to it, that would be great. I would very much like that because it actually precedes the 1950s. The U.S. Agriculture Department, you may recall, was one of the key departments that was run by various members' communist cells during the FDR administration in the 30s and 40s.
So they'd be able to email you through the New American?
Yes, wjasper@thenewamerican.com.
wjasper@thenewamerican.com. And friends, you'd be able to get that email address. Maybe you can do the research, send it off from. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Over the last 2 years, I have had the privilege of interviewing three men that were all prisoners of war at what they called the Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam. All of these men went under incredible torture and persecution. Why? Because they refused to comply with the communists. They refused to write propaganda. They refused to go on camera and give propaganda. They refused to cooperate with the communists. They resisted. How many of us in America today are cooperating with the communists, either by self-censorship, what we're not willing to say anymore, or by literally turning over our treasured institutions to them? Americans must learn from the prisoners of war of the Vietnam War that resisted and were involved in leadership, communication, organization, and resistance.
program you're listening to is Crosstalk. It comes your way each weekday afternoon at the same time here on the VCY American Network. With us today, William F. Jasper. We're talking about the war on the farmer, and they've got a new edition coming out, No Farmers, No Food. And for info, thenewamerican.com or call 1-800-727-TRUE. And if you miss that email address, if you have the information pertaining to the USDA matter, folks, again, you can email wjasper@thenewamerican.com. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We have Mark calling in from Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, my question is, whose hand would you say is predominantly in the Biden sack puppet, and who do you, or do you think the left will somewhat back off with the Green New Deal agenda prior to the midterm, just so they can put off a false narrative and then totally pounce on it afterward?
Hmm. Interesting questions. Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. And in answer to the first one, I think we should go to Joe Biden himself. Now, when he appeared a couple of years ago at the Council on Foreign Relations, he was the main guest there. You can see the video. We've linked to it many times. We've quoted it many times at the New American. And he is sitting next to the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, Richard Haass. And Richard Haass is doing the introduction, and he says, "And I'm Richard Haass, and I'm the president of the Council on Foreign Relations." And then Biden says, "I'm Joe Biden, and Richard is my boss."
Mm-hmm.
So Richard Haass and the Council on Foreign Relations, we at the New American have been publishing for many years. When talks started coming up more popular about the deep state, people say, "Well, who's the deep state?" And most of the other critics of the deep state and conservatives will say, "Well, they're globalists and they're all these billionaire pro-world government people, et cetera, and it's mostly the intelligence agencies." We point out the deep state, really, the central brain trust of the deep state is the Council on Foreign Relations. And so we've gone through that extensively over the last few years. And we show in the Biden administration, we have a chart showing all of his Council on Foreign Relations people, hundreds of them, throughout his whole administration. And the big corporations that are CFR corporate members that are part of his coterie.
And his second part of his question about, do you anticipate delay until after the election?
Well, we're getting pretty close to the election right now, yeah. And they haven't in some ways they have delayed because they saw the elections coming up, so they backed off on a number of the things. He said, "Now we can have more drilling, et cetera." They squandered the strategic oil reserve to help drive down the prices. You know, the strategic oil reserve is supposed mm-hmm. to be in case of national emergency, yeah. of war or something like that.
We're depleting it.
Yeah, we're depleting it as never before.
Let's go to Peter calling in from California, Burbank, California. Peter, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm wondering what Mr. Jasper is hearing about here in California, which is a huge, perhaps one of the largest agricultural producers in the world. And we're not really hearing much from the California Department of Agriculture, which has been very quiet as of late, eerily quiet. And I just want to know his thoughts.
Okay.
Well, California, where I lived for many years, I live up in the Pacific Northwest now, and that's where I grew up. But I lived in California for many years in the Central Valley and down in Los Angeles. And unfortunately, all of the things which we see besetting California with the crime, the high taxes, the migration, the insufferable regulations that are being put on everybody, the COVID restrictions that have canceled and killed so many businesses and jobs, California is a disaster now, but the agriculture is being stifled in many ways. One of the most important being water. Even ahead of the WOTUS decision that we talked about and the WOTUS policies of the Biden administration, where the waters of the United States, the state of California, has already made war on the California farmers over a decade. And this goes before Biden and before Obama. Under George H.W. Bush, going clear back 30 years ago, the Department of Agriculture and the EPA made war on the farmers. I was covering that in California at the time. And we had the cutting off of the water. Even though the farmers had the legal rights, they had the vested water rights, they were taking it away because they said, we have to give it to the salmon, or we have to give it to the bullnose trout, or we have to give it to some other endangered species. And so they've been taking the water away from the farmers more and more each year. So it's getting harder and harder for them to make a living. But with the new electric vehicle things and renewable regulations that are now mandated in California, it will really wipe out agriculture if that is not changed, because you're not going to be able to farm with electric vehicles. And as we're seeing right now, even in California, with all the fires that are going on and with the heat wave that they're having, they're saying, oh, you have to turn off all your air conditioners, you have to, you can't charge your cars on these days. So things are going to be very difficult in California.
And let me sneak in one last call. We're just a minute left. Christine, go ahead from Hillsboro.
I'm wondering if he sees any opportunity for small farmers who are diversified and can, such as raise their own fertilizer through animal manure and whatnot. Does he see any special opportunities for small farmers?
Can we get 30 seconds, Bill?
Yes, that's what I do. I compost and do all those things. But it's for food for my own family. There are many more farmers that are finding niches, community-based local farm-to-table opportunities. And so, yes, hopefully many people will take advantage.
Thank you for the call. Keep in mind, though, that the feds raided an Amish farmer here just recently as well to meet their regulations. Bill Jasper, our guest here today on Crosstalk. No Farmers, No Food, the magazine featuring multiple articles, thenewamerican.com, 1-800-727-TRUE. Bill, thank you so much for all the information, the research you put into this.
Thank you, Jim. My pleasure.
And friends, share this information with others. Get a CD or share the link that will be available just a couple hours from now at crosstalkamerica.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.